not very long ago, and I'm going to do it again. It isn't because I forgot that I preached it once. It could be, but it's not. And let me give you a little of the background. We need renewal, and we need revival in our hearts and lives. We do, as a church. And so where do you start? How do you start to become, to get back to that place? And in Psalm 51, David was caught in sin and wrote a psalm about it, and he was crying out to the Lord. And he said, "Create in me a new heart, a clean heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And restore unto me the joy of my salvation." And I want to just speak to the church for a moment, especially us who have been around for a while, to think about the time where you were the closest with Jesus. And are you there now? And how did we get away? How did the thing become so dull? And God is so faithful, because we can wander away, and yet somehow God has a way of inviting us back. I've said it many times as your pastor. When you came to the Lord, did you have that sense that Jesus was surprised that you come to him? Or did you have the sense that he had been waiting a long time for you to come and had been part of that journey? And it's the same thing now. If we think about our lives now, no matter where we are, God is faithful, and he's at work in our life to bring us into that place of peace and joy. And that's the good news. That's the hope that's found in there. It's not something that you can just like do the training seminar, but he has a way of working in our life and bringing that about. This morning, I've titled the message that Life in the Blood. Doesn't sound very thing, but if there's one scripture verse that I'd want us to remember this morning, it's this: know you not that you have been bought or redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It's from 1 Peter, and I want to read a portion of scripture for our meditation today. Peter said this to the church: "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." I want to just, if I could just do anything this morning, it's that you would look to the cross and see the blood that Jesus shed for us and the power that it gave for us. It's the blood that makes a difference in our lives. It's the price. It's the means of payment where we can stand today and say, "I'm free. I'm alive. I am God's." We have been bought by the blood. And I guess as a pastor, let us be a people and a church that are thankful for the blood that was shed at Calvary. And let us worship the Lamb who was slain for you and me. We did that this morning in a very powerful, intimate way. My prayer would be, God, forgive us and those who have strayed and went their own way, heedless of the price that was paid for them. Forgive those who have neglected the gospel and believe that being a Christian is just about being kind and loving and orderly and moral. And send your Holy Spirit to us as a church and churches if we see there's no need of Jesus Christ or the blood that was shed at Calvary, quicken us to our sin and our great need of forgiveness. There's some today who will preach a gospel that doesn't even mention the blood. Do you know that there's been Bibles actually written that have just left the blood out? And the reason why is it's too gory. It's too messy. We'll just leave that out. And people don't want to hear about that. But I've learned over time that life is messy. And it's big. It's real, isn't it? The issues of life and death that are in our life, they're real. They're big. They're not trivial for a lot of us. Marriages that break up. Hurt and pain between people and sickness and disease, and it's a tough world. And without the blood of Christ, where's the hope and where's the change and where is the life? And the whole thing about being a Christian is not about what we do, but is about what God has done for us. And the challenge of becoming a Christian and walking as a Christian is coming to that place in our life where with humility we lay down our own efforts and trust God's gift and say, it's enough, it's finished. That's who I am. Powerful song this morning. I sang all kinds of little ditty songs. You don't want to hear them over this morning. Shereen will know what they are. But if I didn't sing that one, but if there's any song that really needs to resonate in our hearts, it's Who I Am, Who I Am. I'm a child of God. Why? By the loving Father. And how? By the blood of the Lamb that was shed at Calvary. And I don't know if there's anybody here today that's walking with their head down with shame or guilt or condemnation, or just a sense that they've really blown it. But if you're a Christian, I want to give you a bit of a kick in the rear. And look up to the one who died on the cross for you. It's done. And there's something needs to get into your spirit in that. And Shereen prayed for me on the way over several things. I'm not going to relive it all. But she spoke a truth in there once. If God is for us, who can be against us? And there's something absolutely freeing in knowing that God loves you completely. So much so that he would die on the cross and spill his blood for you and me. And sometimes it gets to be a real big mess. Some of us know about that. God saved Shereen and me from a real big mess, from making a bigger mess and a bigger mess, and that mess getting bigger and bigger in other people's lives by his blood. It makes me weep after 30 years of thinking of the goodness and the faithfulness of God to take such a one as us and what he's done in our life and in your lives as a church. I'm going to speak, I think, three things about the blood that are true. I'm going to use scripture because it's truth. Leviticus 17:11. Life is in the blood. We kind of get that. Because when all the blood leaks out, guess what happens? We're dead. So we kind of get that. And there's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And it's the giving of blood for those of us who are dead in sin that gives us life. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's what I'm saying. It goes on. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. That blood was given for you and for me to pay the price of our sin. That's the gospel. Went a long time to college and learned a lot of big words, but really that's about all I needed to know. If we could understand that and believe that, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul, then each person who's feeling the weight of blowing it, not being all that they should be, making a mess of things, can know this. They can come to God through Jesus Christ and say, God, forgive me of my sins. I believe that what you did on the cross paid for me, and I'm free of the burden and the weight and the shame and the guilt and the condemnation of that sin now and forevermore. As far as the east is from the west. It's sin that causes death, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ that gives life. Now somebody, George Budd, I think was the first guy I ever heard teach about what death was. Death, we can't quite figure that one out. There's a lot of terms in the Bible we can't figure out. Death is not just about the absence of breath. That would be a clinical or a biological understanding of it. But death had a sense of being disconnected. And when we die, our spirit is separated from our body. It's gone. You know, there's nothing left in the body. The spirit's gone. Doesn't mean the spirit doesn't live. And the Bible teaches us the spirit does live. And those who live in Jesus Christ are living in heaven forevermore, where there'll be no more tears or crying. And those who do not are not living in heaven. Indeed, they're living in hell, in a place of torment forever. Eternal death. Eternal death of the worst kind. That's salvation. And sometimes we walk in condemnation even when we're saved, because our mind plays tricks. Or the devil heaps condemnation on us. Do you know what the devil's chief thing about Christians is? Is he's the accuser of the brethren. There isn't a Christian in this place has not heard in their heart, after they blew it, oh, Fred, a real Christian wouldn't do that. And we'll take that and we'll go, you're right. And I need to feel bad about it, because that's what you need to feel when you have done wrong. But what we need to do is take our wrongness to Jesus Christ. And let, by faith, Jesus' death and price that he paid on Calvary, and the blood washes clean again. We know that the redemption of Christ Jesus, God sent forth to be a propitiation by his blood for our sin. I thought I'd do that one because I did go to college for a long time. I can't remember of a time where I've told anybody, when I've telling them about Jesus, that I've used propitiation to help explain it. It just means that God in his mercy has delivered us from a justly deserved wrath. And he actually annuls the power of that, the agreement that we have with the devil, and pays the price. It's done. It's paid for. The blood was the means of grace, and that paid for the price of our separation with God, our just earning of the wrath of God, that whereby we can have our debt paid, and it's no longer on our account, and we can have freedom to walk with God. I'm in troubles here, because it just goes into a whole realm of another conversation. God is holy. You know that? He's holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. There's enough times to say holy, to express the holiness of God. We've lost that. We think God's just a buddy. He's kind of like Santa Claus, only sometimes we make him a little different. But he's holy. And the wrath of God in his creation is upon everything that mars his holiness. And we need to come to him and be forgiven. And when we're forgiven, we're set free. One of the biggest things, the devil comes to be the accuser of the brethren. What's under the blood is forgiven by God. No longer needs to be held to your account. So when I come and bend my knee to Jesus Christ and say, God, you need to pay the price, will you pay the price for my sin? It's already been spilt for you. It's about receiving it. That sin is forgiven. Anybody who brings that up to you after it's under the blood and it's been made right in God is doing the work of the accuser of the brethren. And we do that all the time. Keep bringing up the past, bringing up the past. Some of us can't ever find freedom because we know that we have done wrong and we have asked God for forgiveness. But I keep doing it and I can't find any forgiveness. And I'll say to you that it's because you have not seen the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary for you. And you have not allowed that price to be paid for you. What are we going to do without the blood of Jesus? I'm going to press or spend on, or I'll be breaking my word today. Exodus 12. Let's go to 12 and 13 first. The story is an Old Testament story, and it was the story of the Hebrews who were in bondage in Egypt, and they were there because of disobedience. And they needed a deliverance from there. There was nothing they could really do to get free. Do you know that? They didn't have the power to get free. They were stuck there. Worst off, if you think about it, they didn't even want to be free. Do you realize that? Like, who can understand that? And we can see that tension because as they started to go out into deliverance, and it got a little bit hard or dicey or scary, guess what? Let's go back to the bondage. We're all in it. There's a lot of Christians go back to bondage because it's scary to go ahead in freedom. So, in Exodus 12, 23, we see the story of God's children in a foreign land. And it's the 10th judgment that's come on. And there's a judgment that's going to happen in the land, throughout the land. And it's God's provision for a way of freedom for the children of God, for all those who believe. Funny thing is, the Egyptians still had the same opportunity. Anybody who did disobedience would not be subject to the judgment. And he told them that they should go and they should put the blood of the lamb, dip it in the blood that is in the basin. You have to look at the whole story. And apply it to the doorposts. And none of you shall go out of this house until morning, for the Lord is going to go through to strike the Egyptians, all those who do not take this covenant. And when he sees the blood on the doorposts of the house, he will pass over and not allow the destroyer to come. Whew. Whew. That's not just a story. That happened. And there was a lot of other stuff that was going on before that. So as a dad, I hear Moses give this instruction. It goes through the camp. And I'm going through there. And I've learned one thing. God is holy, holy, holy. And he means what he says. And he says what he means. And I need to obey him. And he takes the blood of the lamb. And he puts it on the doorpost. And he tells his family what? I don't know what I'm doing. I just thought it would be good. I don't know. It's some religious ceremony. He's saying, don't go out. Do not go out of this house, for the judgment is upon this land. And this is the only means to be delivered from this judgment. We need to have that sense about Jesus' blood and righteousness. So, if the destroyer comes, and we'll look at Nadab and Abihu, the son of Aaron. And if Nadab, who is the firstborn of Aaron and entitled to the inheritance, and if he had gone and said, well, you know what? Dad's been hanging out with a religious crowd for quite a while, a bit zealous. I think I'll run over to Larry's place or Harry's place. Sorry, Larry. It was the first name, and now I'm incriminating you. We're going to go out and we're going to have a good time and find some mischief to get into. What would have happened to him? Not because he's the son of Aaron, not because he's of the royal priesthood, not because of anything he could do or his wiles or abilities would save him from that judgment. That's the truth about our world today. It seems foreign. It seems weird, but it's real. And if you believe that story today, there's an uneasiness that's in your spirit because you know yourself or other loved ones who have not followed that. So, it's an interesting thing to follow Nadab's life through. He was saved by the blood of the Lamb. He heard the cries of the grieving parents who didn't obey. He grew up and he became a priest to handle the holy things of God. When you think about that. We're priests. We're priests in our homes, men, to handle the holy things of God. And Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10, chapter verse 1 to 4, it tells us that they took profane fire. That means they took a fire that was not a means of the sacred instruction of God, and they went into the Holy of Holies, and they were killed by that fire. And the Lord spoke to them. We got that up. I know it's a big one. This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all people, I must be glorified. And what they didn't realize was you can't just come to God any old way you want and make it happen. But you need to come in the prescribed manner. In the prescribed manner, you know, there's ritual in that. And we can't come to God just any old way we want. It's true, that song, just as I am, I come. And God will receive us wherever we are, we come. But we can't come to Him and have fellowship with Him any old way. We only come through Jesus Christ. And I know every other religion just gets rankled right now when we say that. But it's true in Jesus. I'm not sure how Nadab ever came to that place where him and his brother would offer profane fire. I've thought about it for a while, many times. How does that come to a place in my life where I'm so casual and comfortable about what I offer up to the Lord each day? I don't know how that happens. But afterwards, they were warned that they shouldn't drink or be drinking intoxicating drinks, so that they would be impaired and wouldn't know good from evil. And the problem isn't that the alcohol will take you to hell, but it impairs us, intoxicates us, so that we become casual about what's good and evil. And I feel like in our culture we've been intoxicated. I feel like I've been intoxicated. And we need to get back to that place of understanding God is holy. And it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that we come. He's paid the price. Acts 20:28. There's scripture there, a little bit reflective of pastors. I get nervous when the Bible talks about pastors and leaders, deacons and elders, because we get double blessing or double honor. Whew, but there's a lot of judgment going on. We have to carry it out. And I think I need the grace of God again. It says in Acts 20:28, boy, Linda, you're just ahead of me all the time. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And that's who we are. If there's anything, we got farmers and oil guys and all kinds of guys here, retired, young, old. But who we are as the church of God is we're the purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We need to see one another like that. We need to treat one another like that. We need to respond to one another like that. And we need a proper understanding of it. The blood is our confidence. Hebrews 10:19-25 tells us, brethren, have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. We have our right of access only through the blood of the Lamb. How many of us, you know, it's a terrifying thing to come into the presence of God. I don't know if any others, I know there'll be you out there say, oh no, it's great, Jesus loves me, man, I'm just in. Yeah, there's something terrifying about it too, and unsettling when you really come into his presence. If you look in the Bible, like Isaiah, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, I'm undone. Like, children of God didn't want to go up to the mountain. There's thunder and lightning's going up. No, Moses, go ahead. Like, go up there. Speak to him. We'll get it from him. You know, we're not going there. God is holy, and we need to come to him through the blood. I want to invite us again, a fresh look of that, and to come through the blood of the Lamb as the children. And maybe there's some here that have never come and just said, I trust you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. I receive you as my Savior today for the first time. If there's anybody got shame in their life, guilt, or condemnation, let's put it this way. If I called you out today and said, would you come up and share about Jesus? You'd go, oh boy, no, I can't do that. Not the way I've been living. Not the way I'm doing it. I can't do it. You need to come to Calvary and ask for forgiveness for your sin and be washed clean again. It flows. And the devil will say, well, go ahead and ask, but you won't change. We've seen you do this before, and you need to tell him, go take a flying leap into the lake. I'm going to the well of grace. I want Jesus in my life. I want God in my life, and I'm coming. Cleanse me, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Take not away from me the joy of my salvation. If there's anybody here today that doesn't have the joy of their salvation, I'm going to tell you, look at the cross. He's forgiven you. He loves you. Receive it. I've told you the story once before of a woman who committed adultery. She was a pastor's wife. And she came back to the Lord and she got restored into fellowship. And every Monday morning about 6 o'clock or 6:30, she would phone the day after the Sunday before and would be upset that she couldn't do it. She needed prayer because I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Usually there was involved a counseling later on. And she came in and one day, we had gone through this for a long time, and she come in and she's crying. Oh, I hate that. And just completely done. Can't do it. And something raised up in me, and I said, who do you think you are anyways? And I was treating her like she was rebellious and arrogant. And that didn't seem to fit. But I said, why do you diminish the work of the cross and the blood of Jesus so much? Do you not think that Jesus' blood on the cross of Calvary was enough to pay your sin? Would you just receive it and let it have its work in your life? There's power in the blood. In Jesus' name. Will you bow your heads? I think I did fairly good. Will you bow your heads? I just want to pray a little bit. You talk with the Lord yourself this morning. Holy Spirit, I thank you you're here. Speak to us, each individual person. Open their eyes, Lord, that they could see Jesus, the blood of Calvary, the love that you have for them, and the gift of God, and the bright hope, peace, and joy that comes in receiving the gift of God. And Father, I pray for these, your people, every person has come here today because they love you or want you to come into their life or need more change. And I thank you that you're faithful and that you provided everything we need for life and salvation. And I rebuke the accuser of the brethren who comes to steal our hope, our peace, and our confidence, and even our relationship that brings life through Jesus Christ. And I ask for faith to be stirred up in these people today to trust you. It's enough. Will you say yes and amen today to Jesus and what he did at the cross? Can you say in your heart or out loud, is even better, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I believe that the shedding of blood has the power of remission of sins. And I believe that that gift of blood was given at Calvary for me. I receive it now. Lord, forgive me for the mess I make day after day, many times in my life. Forgive me and wash me in your precious blood. Cleanse me from all guilt and shame and condemnation. And empower me to live for you. God, you set us free, Lord, and I know you've given us more. You've given us the power to live for you. And I ask in Jesus' name today that the power of God would come, that we could live for you in victory, rejoicing with the peace of God in Jesus' name. We're not the kind to go back into perdition, but we're the kind to go ahead, pressing forward to the mark of our high calling. And by faith today, we take a step forward and ask for more in Jesus' name. Will you stand with me and just...